Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Firstly, let me let you know that I am the Imam of the Mokhali Mosque. And happily, I am the Imam for the past 30 years. But there is something that bothers me a little. And I would like to have a little clarification on it. That is, that if I go, as I am here this evening, invited to be present, and the time of Salah comes, I do not want to know whether the leader there is of the Ahmadiyya movement, whether the leader there is from the TML movement. Once he is there, and I recognize him to be a Muslim, I am going to read Salat behind him. But the thing that bothers me most of all is that I have observed during the past few years, and I do not know whether this is a rule of the Ahmadiyya movement, I would like to know so, that they do not read Salat behind any other Imam or any other person in the community.
Thank you. Please, if you have to ask another question, you may remain close. Sit down, take your seat here. First of all, let me, with due apologies, observe that I think you know it already, ever since you became an Ahmadi, Lahori Ahmadi. It's not a question. Sunni Ahmadi, I'm sorry. You're a Sunni. Then I understand. Because if you're a Lahori, I couldn't understand the question. Because you should have known it already. So, I do apologies for me. I misheard you. So, you are a Sunni Imam. You say that you do not have to further question the sect or belonging of a person who is reading the Salat. Because, according to you, everything is alright. Whoever reads the Salat, you can say your Salat behind him. That is your position. But before I explain my position, which is quite understandable, let me explain further that this is not the position of the official sects of Islam. All the sects of Islam have their own edict on the issues. And I have read widely the literature pertaining to different edicts, fatawa, and I haven't found a single sect in Islam which considers it permissible for their followers to follow the namaz, salat behind another imam. So, because many people don't know these things, so they think it is all right, but officially, according to their sect, it is not all right. I'll explain further, then you'll understand that it is not just a rebuking answer, it is a genuine answer. For instance, if you have read the literature of Barelvis, they are the largest sect in India, run into hundreds of millions. Their Imam M. Murtaza Ahmad Khan has delivered his fatawa, their prophet. In these fatawas, he says that a Barelvi cannot say his prayer behind any other sect. If he does so, his prayer will go against him. It will not be accepted by God. But he goes further, much more than the Ahmadiyya did. He says that even if a non-Brahmi says his prayer behind a Brahmi Imam, that is not permissible. He says to shake hands with a non-Brahmi is un-Islamic. To marry with a non-Brahmi is un-Islamic. He says if a non-Brahmi marries a Brahmi, his children will not be valid, will not be legitimate, and so on and so forth. And the counter fatawa of other sects are almost as severe as these. While, as you are quite right, they have no right to say that we will not accept this Imam and that Imam, and only will follow the prayer behind our own sect. They have no legitimate reason. Now I'll explain why Ahmadis do not. And I understand, of course, if you ask the question generally, as I know you did, you will understand the answer. All the Muslim scholars belonging to all sects of Islam are united on one fact, that Al-Imam al-Mahdi is yet to come. And it is believed he has come. They believe he is not yet come. But he will most certainly come. And they also agree on this, that Al-Imam al-Mahdi will not be elected by the people, will not be appointed by an oil rich state. He will be directly appointed by God. So they believe, and there is no exception, that if that Imam appears whom Allah has directly appointed, then those who reject an Imam appointed by God, they forfeit their right to lead the followers of that Imam. That is the clear position. On the one hand, an Imam has been appointed directly by God. And a person, an ordinary Muslim, has the daring and audacity to reject that Imam. On the other hand, he expects that man-made Imam should be followed by the followers of that Imam. So, in that perspective only you can understand our position. You believe Hazrat Mirza Sahib to be a false man, although out of courtesy you may not say that in so many words. If you had believed that he was not false, you would follow him, you would join us. So you believe that he was a false man. But we do not believe that. We believe he was directly appointed by Allah as that Imam which was promised to the Ummah 1400 years ago by Hazrat Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, what is our position? What will be your position? Not today, but let's say tomorrow. Suppose the Imam does come. Suppose this is not the Imam, but the other Imam does come, and you follow him. And the others say that he is an imposter, he is a liar, he is outside the veil of Islam. Would your conscience permit you to say your prayers behind him? I ask you this question. If I were you, my conscience would not, and does not. So it's a question of how you look at this Imam, this claimant at least. If he is genuinely sent by God, this should be the genuine reaction. But this is not applicable to other sects. They have not been created by God as sects. Their Imams are not chosen by God and appointed by God. They have in fact created spirits in Islam. They were all man-made. None of the sects claims to have been created by God as Jamaat. So as such, you are quite logical and right that no Muslim has a right to deny the Imamat of any other Muslim, whatever sect he belongs to. This is quite logical. But our case is different, and I'll explain the situation to you.